about anything you heard today at jesse@canadaland.com. I read everything that gets sent to that email address. Our senior producer is Bruce Thorson. Audio production and editing from Tristan Capicchione. Caleb Thompson lent his dulcet tones to reading those excerpts in today's episode from Stephen Marsh's New Yorker article, which is titled, Was Linguistic AI Created by Accident? Max Collins is our production manager. Our theme music is by So-Called. Syndication is handled by CFUV, 101.9 FM in Victoria. Visit them online at cfuv.ca. Hi there. You just heard Canada Land, the show where I'm typically joined by a different guest each week for a long feature interview. What you're going to hear next is Canada Land Shortcuts, a topical news show where I'm joined by a different co-host each week, and we talk about the media's coverage of various stories in the news right now. Wait for it. I'm Jesse Brown, and today we are talking about the news. We'll talk a bit about a CRTC raffle gone wrong. Oh my. We'll talk about exactly which chemicals Danielle Smith may have been sprayed with, but mostly we will be answering the question, just how much does Pierre Poilievre love diversity? So much that he's giving Jason Kenney a run for his money.
The truth is, for 10 years, I was the multiculturalism minister across Canada. I got the nickname Minister of Curry in a Hurry.
Wait for that. Jen Gerson, co-founder and editor of The Line. Welcome to the show.
Anytime.
Jen, you guys are independent media.
Yeah, definitely.
We're independent media.
Whatever the hell that means anymore. I don't know.
Do you know who loves independent media?
Who loves independent media?
Pierre Poilievre.
I told my team that I wanted to bring together the independent voices in the media, not those that are controlled by the government or the big corporations that are controlled by Bell or Shaw or Rogers or some other big conglomerate connected to the government, but the independent and diverse voices that tell the real story. We said we want just the people who've been who are very precious to their communities. We want to bring them here and have wonderful, authentic one-on-one conversations here at the official residence of His Majesty's leader of the official opposition. It's an honor for Anna as well to be hosting us. She's the one that chose the music. What do you think?
Jen, that is from a garden party that Pierre Poilievre threw for the independent media at his official residence. He had them over to his house and served them, I don't know what he served them, canapes, little sandwiches. And he spent 20 minutes each with each member of the independent media. Were you invited?
I don't think I was invited, but I'll admit that as a proprietor of an independent media, I'm probably not as diligent with checking my emails as I ought to be. Maybe I was invited and didn't realize it. But I don't think I was invited.
Nor was I. I did not get that email. I checked.
Wait, let me check my email.
Okay.
Let me check.
I'm pretty sure you weren't. And the reason why is that the specific independent media who were invited to that party, that was the Ethnic Press.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. In fact, it's been reported that he had over 50 different engagements, interviews, or meetings with what they're calling the independent media, but I don't see the names of any of the independent media that we typically talk about. I haven't seen the Narwhal mentioned or the Tai. I don't see the National Observer, the Halifax Examiner. It's possible, but what the Star is reporting is that who he met with were the so-called ethnic or third language media in Canada. Not to say that they're not independent, but if the word independent had your mind going to the same place where mine went, this is the specific type of independent media that we're talking about here. I had no idea about this. All I hear about is how he won't talk to the media. He won't talk to CBC. He's going to defund the CBC. And then he wouldn't talk to CTV. Apparently he's lifted that boycott. But at the same time, he has been giving interview after interview after interview to the so-called Ethnic Press of Canada. Curious.
Yeah, they're reaching out to ethnic media. Conservatives have been doing this for decades. Liberals do this. The NDP should be doing this. doing ethnic outreach is a very vital and necessary part of any kind of democratic process in a highly pluralistic society. I mean, I think that the conservatives really started to champion this. I mean, you will remember that Jason Kinney was credited with being one of the first conservatives in the federal conservative movement to really champion ethnic outreach to the extent that he was given the nickname the Minister of Curry in a Hurry.
Chana masala is your signature dish. Can I
confess? Didn't see that coming, right?
No, we thought we would do a steak, a burger, being from Calgary.
Too boring, too obvious. The truth is, for 10 years, I was the multiculturalism minister across Canada. I got the nickname Minister of Curry in a Hurry.
And I think that this is one of the major things that distinguishes Canadian conservatives from American conservatives, for example. Canadian conservatives, I think, generally understand that the future absolutely does lie in establishing new relationships with different kinds of communities, religious communities, ethnic communities, immigrant communities, and actually have spent many years trying to build those bridges. Like I said, conservatives are unique in this. Any party that doesn't do this is stupid because the numbers are what the numbers are. We're an increasingly diverse country. And if you want to maintain power in an increasingly diverse country, you need to have those alliances and you need to have those relationships.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything nefarious about that. I don't think there's anything wrong about that. It's just part of what it is to operate as a big tent political party in a democracy that is functioned and is structured the way that ours is.
I think we can just sort of clear away the obvious sophistry here. When he says independent media, he just means some independent media.
Yeah, that's right. He's not inviting the narwhal and the tie here.
And we have put in many requests over the years for an interview with Pierre Poilievre, and we can't get one, even though we are certainly independent and consistent with his ideas of how media should not be taking money from government, but it wouldn't necessarily be an easy experience for him, and so he's not going to do it.
We're going to put in a request.
You might get one.
We might get one. I mean, we're hoping to start a kind of an interview-style podcast at The Line, so I'm kind of hoping that we are going to put in some requests and get people on. I mean, we've had Jagmeet Singh on our show, and we had Aaron O'Toole do an interview with us in the past. So
we had those same two. It's interesting who.
Yeah, they were super willing to do stuff.
Yeah.
It was cool. But and so I think there's a pretty good chance that Pierre Poilievre would come on The Line and chat with Matt or I.
Yeah, and I mean, that would be interesting because I think there's a good chance that that would be a lot tougher for him than some of these interviews he's been granted. This specific thing that he's doing, I agree. I'm not saying it's anything nefarious. There's some bullshit to work past. This false dichotomy, the media, is a useful rhetorical device for Poilievre. It doesn't really exist anymore. And independent media is not what he's saying independent media is. He's talking about very specific outlets that, you know, he both sees votes there and he thinks he's not going to get challenged too hard. I have something to point out, though. This news story from the Toronto Star about Pierre Poilievre cozying up to the so-called ethnic press, Poilievre says that he's talking to these independent voices in the media because they're not, quote, controlled by the government. Well, they're not controlled by our government, but the Hogue inquiry into foreign interference, that has been going on. And over at the Globe and Mail, Fife and Chase reported, journalists described to the Hogue inquiry how China and India interfere in diaspora media in Canada. There's some stunning quotes in this piece. The majority of local Chinese media has been influenced, if not outright controlled, by the Communist Party of China for years, using a variety of methods, said Victor Ho, the former editor-in-chief of Tsingtao newspaper. Gurpreet Singh, a journalist from BC, said that Indo-Canadian media are diverse and hold a greater variety of opinions, but journalists face pressure from the Indian consulate and advertisers when they are too critical of the Modi government. I am not saying that all ethnic or diaspora media is controlled by foreign interests, but it certainly seems like some of it is. And according to the guy who used to edit Tsingtao, most of it is in Chinese language. So that's an interesting little twist, wouldn't you say?
Totally. And also, I think that as we become a more pluralistic and multicultural society, yes, it's absolutely inevitable that all of our parties are going to need to, over time, increase and improve their relationships with different ethnic communities within that society. That's good. That's part of the political process. That's excellent. However, the fundamental risk and flip side of that is that some of those diaspora communities are demonstrably influenced or are attempted to be influenced by foreign actors. And so, like, this is something that all of our political parties need to be on guard about and need to be aware of. And we need to have a high degree of transparency and information about the ways in which those influence operations operate within this country. Trying to relegate all of this is, you know, all this critique is just racist for example, the Liberals did in the midst of the foreign interference scandal last year, I think did everyone a disservice in being able to have an open and straightforward conversation about this.
One of the things we've seen, unfortunately, over the past years is a rise in anti-Asian racism linked to the pandemic and concerns being arisen around people's loyalties. I want to make everyone understand fully that Han Dong is an outstanding member of our team, and suggestions that he is somehow not loyal to Canada should not be entertained.
The other thing I would just point out is one thing that I find very annoying about conservatives, and especially conservatives who are, you know, leading in the polls by 20-odd points, is the degree to which they are maintaining a persecution complex that increasingly isn't connected to consensus reality. When the CTB fiasco played out, is still continuing to play out, my God, 3 weeks later, I think a lot of people in the conservative space really feel alienated from what I would call the Laurentian consensus. They feel alienated from the mainstream. And so they have this vision in their heads of, quote unquote, the media. And their vision of the media is like legacy media as it existed 15 years ago.
I think they picture Andrew Coyne at a cafe with a latte sneering at them.
Not totally wrongly. I know the cafe that Andrew Coyne goes to. Everyone does. And he does sit there with a latte, sneering a little bit.
I come in, I say, hi there, Laurentian Consensus. And he says, hi there, Jesse.
Hi there. But I mean, like the idea that that's, quote unquote, the media in this godforsaken year of 2024. I mean, I think that's fantasy now.
All right. After the break, we will get a sense of just how the Toronto Star looks upon its colleagues in the independent press. They kind of revealed it all. Hold on a second for that. Here's how the Star, I think, patronizes these journalists. I'll read here from the piece. Some ethnic media journalists, many of whom run their own media channels where they are the reporter, the businessman, and the garbage man at the same time.
Well, God forbid, what a sin.
I mean, guilty as charged over here.
We all can't work at the Toronto Star there, guys. By the way, your newsroom has mice in it.
It gets worse. So some of these ethnic media journalists, writes the Star, can occasionally be explicit in their approval of Polyev's message. In one such press conference this summer, one journalist referred to a smiling Polyev as the future of Canada and the future prime minister. I mean, he just is the future prime minister, but okay.
I mean, come on.
Independent media, the Star continues, which is crucial to the country's diversity and serves its smaller communities, oh, thank you, often doesn't have the business scale, the resources, or the audience size to hold powerful federal and provincial political leaders to account.
I hate to break it to you, Toronto Star, but increasingly neither do you. I don't know what to tell you.
The Star is on permanent death watch.
What kind of resources do you have, Toronto Star?
What an absurd thing to suggest. I mean, like, in a sense, this is an insult to these reporters, the same insult that Polyev might be thinking, which is they're no threat. They will easily be won over. They're happy to meet me, and then I can buy their support. And the Star is saying, yeah, he can. They're, you know, what do you expect? They're taking out the garbage.
The degree to which you're telling on yourself there, because if you're assuming that your peers in the ethnic press can be so easily bought off, aren't you sort of admitting in some roundabout way that you've been bought off? Like, do you have respect for your peers in the ethnic press or don't you?
Forget Coyne. This is the Laurentian consensus here. Like, this is the snooty Torontonian.
Yes, that's right. And this is the sort of thing that conservatives read, and it drives them bat and not totally wrongly. Look, it's not wrong to point out that the independent media as a whole is not where the legacy media was in terms of its fiscal capabilities 20 years ago, 15 years ago, even 10, you know?
It is wrong to suggest that independence and being poorly resourced makes you less combative.
In fact, yes, it probably makes you more combative, but it does make you more dependent on subscription-based revenue. And it's more dependent, I think, on a fairly self-selected audience as opposed to the glory days of the legacy media where you were a mass market product, right? That's true. But all of these things can increasingly be said of the legacy media. I have issues with where we are as independent media. I think there's risks and concerns. C18 is killing us right now. If that gets repealed, I think we're going to be in a much stronger place. So, like, independent media is going to continue to entrench itself and expand. But, you know, if you're a conservative party hack and you're operating under a persecution complex, I've got bad news for you. And that is, the second that you come to power, all of a sudden you're going to become the target and you're going to feel that all of these independent media are turning on you. And it's simply because independent media is doing what it's supposed to be doing. That's holding power to account. And once you're in power, it will hold you to account. And I have a concern that their persecution complex, once they're actually in power, is only going to find increasingly intellectually torturous ways to justify itself.
Jen, as you know, we like to duly note stories on this show to make sure that people do not miss them. What do you have to duly note?
Yeah, I would bring up a story about chemtrails.
Oh, God. Everyone knew that this would happen to Canada Land eventually. Here's our coverage of chemtrails.
So the government. I'm kidding. So in Alberta, it's been an interesting story. Danielle Smith, the premier of Alberta, was doing a town hall with UCP members last week. And one of the UCP members got up and started to ask her about chemtrails. And in case you're not aware of this conspiracy theory, this one's an old one. This one goes back some time. But you know when planes cross the sky and they leave like a white cloud behind
them? Yeah, I know.
So, well, just in case people don't know, not everybody knows.
All right.
So there's a long-standing conspiracy theory that the government or some kind of nefarious agency or the lizard people or the WEF or, you know, pick your villain, has been secretly installing some kind of gas condenser on the back of every single commercial airline, and that those big white trails you're seeing across the sky are evidence that they're trying to put chemicals into the atmosphere to do mind control or to make the frogs gay. I mean, like, depending on who you ask, it's a whole bunch of different things. So somebody went to Danielle Smith and said, you know, have you looked into the chemtrails? And Danielle Smith, who has a bit of a reputation for taking certain conspiracy theories a little too seriously, being a bit too open-minded on certain things, initially responds quite reasonably. Yes, well, we've looked into it at the request of quote-unquote many Albertans, and it doesn't seem like there's a lot of evidence for it. At which point, the crowd started to, like, boo and jeer her. The problem is that Smith is a people pleaser, and when people started to jeer and boo her, the impulse to just give the brush off seemed to have shifted, and then she started talking about saying things to the effect of,
the other person told me that if anyone is doing it, it's the U.S. Department of Defense, and, you know, like, I have some limitations in what I can do in my job. I don't know that I would have much power if that is the case, if the U.S. Department of Defense is spraying us.
I don't necessarily think she believes in chemtrails, although who the f*** knows. I think that she's a people pleaser, and I think she has a hard time being the villain of her own story, so to speak. And I think that what happened is that when she started to see the room turn on her, her politician instinct kicked in, and she's tried to throw chum in the water to get people back on her side. In the end result of this, she wound up appearing to validate this chemtrail conspiracy theory to such an extent that both the U.S. Department of Defense and NORAD issued statements denying it, which was, like, kind of amazing.
Why did you save it for the last?
Well, you know, I like the punchline. Anyway, so, like, Alberta really made the news this week when, you know, NORAD and the U.S. Department of Defense was like, yeah, we're not putting mind control chemicals on your Boeing 737s. Boeing 737 has its own problems right now. So it's kind of an amazing week.
Duly noted. Jen, I want to duly note that there's some problems at the CRTC.
Sorry, that was too.
No. Let's not be like that. Let's not be like that. And this is not about.
Can we be like that? Can we be a little like that?
Maybe a little. But this is not about the CRTC's mishandling of Canadian media, broadcasting, communications. No, this is a very common problem. The CRTC needs to get people back to work. Canada has a back to work mandate for public servants that's just taken effect. CBC reports, you know, they 3 days a week. Please.
Wow, really, it's torture. It's like back to the salt mines. Get Mother Jones on the line.
Here's the real problem, though. CRTC needs its workers back 3 days a week, but they don't have enough office space for them.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, because it's really hard to find office space right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here is their solution to the problem. For a charity fundraiser, the CRTC offered to its workers a raffle. You get a desk. If you win,
I mean,
you don't have to share a desk. You get an assigned, like, that's a prize in this raffle. A month in a closed office to do your own job. They will provide a closed office for you to do the job that you're hired to do.
I take it back. Get Mother Jones on it. Let's get the fire hoses. Solidarity forever.
Welcome to the salt mines. Winner of the raffle gets a shovel. No more using your hands. What the hell?
What is going on? No, like, okay, so it's very, very easy for asshole conservative types like me and conservative-ish people like me to be like, 3 days back in the week, f*** you. The public sector's unions are not winning much sympathy from me right now. I get that. But then, you know, when you actually get into the claims, and it's like, well, look, you hired people with the expectation of remote work being a possibility, and now you're changing the terms of the employment. Okay, I'm pretty sympathetic to that. I'm sympathetic to that argument.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're like, you have to share, you don't get your own desk. Strikes me as unreasonable.
First prize is a working toilet. Second prize is you're fired.
Duly noted.
Stick around for some more stories that we've been following this week. But first, let's say goodbye to our guest. Jen, thank you so much.
Anytime.
Jen, where can people find you?
Well, you can check me out at The Line, www.readtheline.ca. Through that, you can also send a note to lineeditor@protonmail.com.
All right, before we go, here are some other stories that we're following. You may have heard that Gregory Hinton, Canadian Gregory Hinton, has been awarded the 2024 Nobel Prize. Hinton, of course, is a father of AI. On Monday's episode of Canada Land, I'm going to talk to Stephen March, who wrote about Hinton and the birth of AI for The New Yorker. We get into this big conversation about how the ChatGPT, it stands for Transformer, but it might as well stand for Toronto. There are some Canadian origins here. But what we talk about is this birth moment of the Transformer and how these scientists Frankensteined something that surprised the hell out of them when it came to life and started answering questions that they did not think it was going to answer. This is like a really interesting look at the birth of AI from Stephen March, a great writer who went deep on this and wrote something really interesting about it. It's a great conversation. Check that out on Monday. Then on Tuesday, the politics edition of Canada Land will have a look at DC conservative leader John Rustat. There's an election going on, and they are surging in the polls. Have you gotten familiar with this guy? Rustad is abnormal. I mean, I think that's just objective. A video clip surfaced where he discusses Nuremberg 2.0 trials over COVID policy.
Nuremberg 2.0.
Yes.
Oh, yes. That's probably
I know
something
that's a hard one.
Outside of my scope.
I know that puts you on the hot spot right there for sure, but I had to ask.
No, it's fine. And so, like I say, that's something that's sort of outside the scope in terms of a jurisdiction of British Columbia. But if, you know, we would certainly be participating with other jurisdictions as we look at those sort of issues.
We're also having a look at the Hogue inquiry on foreign interference. That is a story that we're continuing to follow. Things are really heating up. It's getting very dramatic at that inquiry. What they're digging into now is this warrant request from CSIS asking the Minister of Defense, Bill Blair, to conduct surveillance on a Liberal MP, Michael Chan. And for some reason, Blair did not act on that for this suspiciously long period of 54 days. And the inquiry, the Hogue inquiry, is really bearing down on that. This could be big. We are following that closely. That is our show for today. Thanks for listening to it. You can email me about anything you heard at jesse@canadaland.com. I read every email that people send in. This episode is produced by James Nicholson with additional production by Caleb Thompson. Our production manager is Max Collins, who also did the fact check for this episode. I'm Jesse Brown, editor and publisher of Canada Land. Our theme music is by So-Called. Syndication is by CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria. Visit them online at cfuv.ca. You can listen ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Democracy Now!, hosted by award-winning independent journalist Amy Goodman. Tune in to your daily progressive news, aired Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. on CJSF.
On the next Alternative Radio, hear Chalmers Johnson on Blowback, the Consequences of U.S. Foreign Policy. That's Alternative Radio, Wednesday afternoons at 4, right here on CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby.